Nothing less than overt acts of aggression against the American people and their rights.
Exercise your rights in a safe way.
Stupidity to think that someone hell-bent on violating the law against murder will magically be stopped by a gun control law.
Politicians that infringe on our God-given rights. He calls them out. He's not here to play.
Well, you heard the man. He said it twice. Let's go. We are locked and loaded on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast, also known as Second Amendment University. And I am Royce, your professor emeritus of the Second Amendment studies, pouring it to you with both barrels, 100% felt recoil and no suppressor. And all while being heavily saturated with gunshot residue, toxic masculinity, and a faint but yet wildly tantalizing whiff of the cologne of my people. And yeah, that would be hops number 9, baby. You know it. If you'd like to be a sponsor of this program, you can be a sponsor for as little as $5 to $10 a month. Go to patreon.com/shootingstraightradio podcast. A lot of benefits there too. You get first access to all episodes of the podcast, plus media content that others just don't get. Also, look me up on Farcebook on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast page there. You can contact me through the messenger there or shoot me an email at royce@shootingstraightradio.com. Shootingstraightradio.com is my website. All of the episodes are auto-loaded there from iHeartRadio. So you have no excuse for missing the program. If you don't have a favorite podcast platform like Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple, Google, whatever the case may be, this program is on all of those. But if you don't have one, just go to shootingstraightradio.com. It really is that easy. But now to address the, not the elephant, but the donkey in the room, or should we just go ahead and call it by its biblical name, the jackass in the room. We recently had a flurry of action in the House of Representatives up on Capitol Hill. And they passed what they call the 2022 assault weapons ban. And as is typical of all Democrat communist presidential administrations, the legislature always moves fast on things like this when they know they're in control. And whenever they feel that they have the reins of power, they try to cram through illegal legislation. When I say illegal, I mean it's constitutionally illegal. Not to mention the fact that many of the courts have already been weaponized against the Constitution. This presidential administration is a weapon against the Constitution. I realize Biden is not the one making the decisions behind the scenes. That would be his former boss, Mr. Barack the Bolshevik Obama. No, I don't have definitive proof for that just yet, but I do think it's going to be coming out very soon. But also what you're seeing recently, besides this legislative assault, we're going to be talking about later in the program how federal agencies have also been weaponized against the people and their right to keep and bear arms. And that would include not just the ATF, but the IRS is going to be used against gun manufacturers, gun dealers, gun retailers, and eventually gun owners, too. I guarantee you it's going to happen. And also the Department of Homeland Security, they are already referring to us as insurrectionists, white supremacists, and everything else, simply because they know a lot of us voted for Donald J. Trump. Now, these weaponized entities, they always try to appear benevolent whenever they're not in control, you know. But as soon as they are, boy, that mask comes off, and it is indeed off presently. These people feel like they're accountable to nobody, and therefore they think they can get away with murder. And I do mean that very literally, and I believe we're going to be seeing it again soon. Now, as I said, many of you already know that yesterday, that would be Friday, the 29th of June, July, the House passed the assault weapons ban of 2022. And I was going to do a podcast about this several days ago when they were still saying, yeah, we're going to hold a vote on it. Then they said, no, we're not going to. And then suddenly they blitzed the thing through and pass it in the House. So now I know why my gut was telling me to wait. Something was afoot. I wasn't sure what it was, but apparently it was. Now, after a very arduous proceeding yesterday, that was, again, that's Friday, the 29th of July, 2022, this very long and tedious proceeding in the U.S. House of Representatives, they passed this assault weapons ban by a very, mainly a party line vote. The vote count was 217 for it and 214 against it. A couple of Republicans even jumped on board, and I don't know who they are yet, but I can guarantee you they're either very weak or they are, what should I say, they're communists themselves? I don't know. That remains to be seen, and it's not relevant right now. This assault weapons ban passage of 2022 was preceded by the dog and pony show that I referenced here on the program a couple of episodes ago, where Ms. Carolyn Maloney with the House Oversight Committee unlawfully and well beyond the purview of her authority, well beyond her bounds, all but issued a summons to the CEOs of Daniel Defense, Sturm Ruger and Smith & Wesson, and quote unquote invited them to meet with the House Oversight Committee. I said at the time, guys, don't bother going. It's going to be nothing but a dog and pony show. It's going to be a farce. They are inviting you up there to make sport of you and to create more propaganda. And I was spot on once again. I really hate being right sometimes. But they essentially, to Mr. Daniel and Mr. Colloy of Sturm Ruger, Mr. Daniels with Daniel Defense, they summoned them there, and they spent the entire time accusing them falsely, literally declaring them guilty, and basically, you know, denying them the right to even speak. They were talked over. They were cut off. They were interrupted. And every time these people, Mr. Daniel or Mr. Colloy, tried to respond to these moronic false allegations and accusations, Ms. Maloney and her ilk and her fellow communists continued to talk over them and cut them off. And in the middle of an answer, she would turn and ask another question of one of the other CEOs, like just totally dismissing the one that was speaking. And it was infuriating to watch. I mean, I wish I had a megaphone that would have reached into the House Oversight Committee there, and they would have heard from me. I guarantee you. It was a clown show. It was a farce. The purpose, its sole purpose, was to create more propaganda for the Democrat Communist Party's attempt to disarm the people of the United States. And again, I'm at a loss as to why Marty Daniel of Daniel Defense and Mr. Christopher Colloy of Sturm Ruger would even bother showing up. They knew this was going to happen, I believe. And if they didn't, then they're a little naive. I don't know. But they were certainly under no lawful compulsion to be there and subject themselves to this crap, because the hearing did nothing more than provide the Democrat communists and their media lapdogs with a plethora of sound bites to use in their propaganda warfare against the United States, which was certainly employed during the passing of this illegal House Bill 1808 Friday. Now, I don't know if you noticed, but the Democrat communists, during this proceeding, when they passed this 1808, they changed the House rules in order to allow for a vote on this assault weapons ban. And they did it claiming that, well, we need to get this done before we go on break. In other words, we have the right to violate protocol, violate the rules, or change them to our benefit if we so see fit. Because we're going on break soon. And they will use any excuse, of course, to violate even their own rules. This is typical of the Democrat Communist Party. When they don't like the rules, they change them. Or they'll simply violate them anyway. It doesn't matter to them one way or the other. I mean, they already have no problem violating the supreme law of the land. They have no problem violating even their own laws that they wrote, they proposed, and even enacted and passed. They have no problem violating those. I want you to understand this one thing throughout the entire program. This entire program is going to focus on the lawlessness and criminality of this current government. And when I'm talking about this current government, I'm talking about every last single stinking Democrat communist within our government, whether it be in the House, in the Senate, in the White House, even sitting on the Supreme Court, no matter where they're at. These people are lawless. They're sitting in governor's mansions in California, New York, and other states. These people are lawless. They don't care about the law. They are just as much, if not worse, criminals than the ones out there on the streets that we have to fight against all the time. Now, most of the Republicans there in the House, they objected rather vehemently to this change of rules. But, of course, just like Ms. Maloney did during the House Oversight Committee with the CEOs from the gun manufacturers, the Democrats just simply dismissed their concerns. In other words, we don't want to hear it. We've got the votes. Screw you. And they knew they had the votes or they wouldn't have pushed this thing through. I promise you that. They knew it. And there was a lot of finagling and arm twisting going on even during the voting process. So essentially, House Bill 1808 will illegally ban most semi-automatic rifles from import, sale, and transfer. Now, this includes many of the most common firearms presently in circulation in this country today, including AR-15s and AK-47 style firearms, and will also include Glock pistols, because Glock makes a fully automatic version of their pistols. And that's how they managed to add that to the banning list, okay? And even though many of the firearms on the communist hit list that are currently in circulation will be grandfathered in by this law. Well, if they're going to be grandfathered in, why would you do that if they're so dadgum dangerous for us to have, we already know. I ask rhetorically, of course. But even though they're going to be grandfathered in, those firearms will not be allowed to be transferred or sold. They're passing in that law that you cannot sell your own firearms to anybody else. See, they're not even going with the universal background checks law thing. They're just flat out saying, you can't even sell this to anybody. Well, I got news for all of you people. I'm going to buy at least 10 more AR-15s, and I'll sell them to whoever the heck I feel like selling them to. And if you come raise Cain with me, you better come ready for a fight. Yes, I said it right here, right now, on this date. That's right, Saturday, July 30th, 2022. I, Royce Bartlett, said this. I'm not afraid to say it. You people are criminals. I'm not the criminal. I'm operating within the law, within the confines of the law, the supreme law of the United States, the law you people continually try to violate and then bring us under force of your arms, trying to force us into compliance therewith. I'm done with it. And later on in the program, we're going to be talking about a resolution of noncompliance that I wrote up years ago in the state of Florida, and it was applied to the state of Florida and the people of Florida and the legislature of Florida. But now I've created a nationalized version in light of what recently happened, okay? So essentially what they're doing is they're cutting off the supply of these types of rifles. And I told you many times on this program, that is their goal. They don't want these things in circulation. They don't want them in supply. They want to cut us off from our sources, and they're using every weapon at their disposal to do it. Matter of fact, I told you recently about UPS. Now they're on the bandwagon. They're jumping onto the infringement bandwagon. You know, it's not just guns and gun parts. Those filthy scumbags are taking out of transit and destroying. There's an ammo manufacturer recently who reportedly has been losing 2/3 of his ammo shipments being shipped through UPS. Yeah, 2/3 of his ammunition is somehow magically disappearing while in the system. And there's no reports of theft or anything like that. So, where could it be going? Yeah. Well, if this illegal law, this 1808, House Bill 1808, if it makes it through the Senate and manages to go into effect, it would very quickly put many firearms companies out of business. And it would cost thousands of jobs, which is not a good thing to have during this planned recession, which, by the way, just happens to be another front in the assault upon the United States from within. But that's another story and another podcast. But this is what's going to happen, people. It's going to wreck the industry. Well, that's their aim. This is not misguided action fueled by their ignorance. They know exactly what they are doing. And don't you ever think otherwise. Now, the Republicans who were there in the House yesterday, they rightly claimed that the bill is unconstitutional, because it is. And of course, they cited the Second Amendment along with the Heller decision and even the Bruin decision. These decisions that clearly assert that the Second Amendment in the Bill of Rights protects firearms that are in common use today. And the AR-15 is owned by literally millions of Americans, and it is the most popular rifle in the country, bar none. Now, the Republicans there, they challenged Mr. Jerry the Toad Nadler, and that's my nickname for him because he is an absolutely disgusting individual. They flat out said, you know, told him that, look, this is the case. These rifles are, you know, clearly in common use. They're owned by millions of Americans. And Nadler admitted this, that they are in common use. And in the same breath, he declared that banning these guns that are in common use was the entire whole point of the bill. So he is admitting that he is a criminal. That's what he is. People, from this day forth and forevermore, refer to these people as criminals, communists, traitors, treasonous, whatever. That's what they are. Quit being polite. They have no problem labeling you and I as insurrectionists simply because we believe in upholding and defending the supreme law of the land. Let's call them what they are. They are the insurrectionists, by the way, not us. They are the criminals. They are the ones assaulting this country. They are the ones waging warfare against this country. Yes, and it's a guerrilla warfare, by the way. But to Mr. Nadler, I tell you this, sir, you aesthetically and morally reprehensible toad, with that statement you made where you said that's the whole point of the bill, you are proving my allegation and my assertion that you and your fellow Democrat communists are nothing but criminals. Just like I said, you are lawless insurrectionists. You are domestic enemies of the Constitution and the people of the United States of America. That's what you are. I'm calling you out. And of course, because they had no facts or substantial talking points, Mr. Nadler and Ms. Sheila Jackson Lee and others trotted out props and pictures of mass shooting victims while they were speaking on the floor. A lot of the Democrats there, they accused Republicans of being in the gun lobby's pockets. Of course, while conveniently ignoring that they are in the anti-gun lobby's pockets and misdirecting scrutiny away from their ties to Bloomberg-funded political action groups like Brady and Everytown and Giffords, etc. Oh, no, it's okay for them to be in the opposition's pocket. But then, of course, like the gaslighting narcissists that they are, they want to point out, you're in the gun lobby's pocket. No, I think a lot of them are simply in the Constitution's pocket, okay? Now, in rebuttal, the Republicans accused the Democrats of ignoring the facts. They pointed to the government's own study that showed that the assault weapons ban under Bill Clinton did not do a dadgum thing to lower the crime rate in the least at all. And I talked about that on this program many times. Matter of fact, there were 16 mass shootings during that 10-year period. One of them was the infamous Columbine Massacre. Okay, there you go. You're welcome. It did nothing to stop bad people from doing bad things with their guns. Of course, the Democrat communists, they kept referring to the AR-15 as the weapon of choice for mass shooters. And they did that on multiple occasions. And to that I say, really? Really, huh? That the truth is, handguns are involved in roughly 75% of all spree shootings. Rifles are involved in 17% of such shootings. Shotguns in 8% of such shootings. Well, yeah, and I got that from Statista. You can find these statistics online. But you know what? Let's cut right to the hard numbers. How about that? Let's go right to the hard numbers about all of this. You guys want to talk about statistics and you want to talk about weapon of choice for this group or that group. Let's cut right to the chase, right to the hard numbers. And in spite of the fact that I know that actual statistical data won't sway the communists who want us disarmed and helpless, it will give all of you out there, my listeners, some hard facts to counter this bull fertilizer whenever somebody begins to parrot these communist talking points around you, okay? So here's the hard facts. It is estimated that the American people presently own approximately 20 million of these tactical type rifles, the AR-15, AK-47, Mini-14, and such like that. And since 1985, semi-automatic rifles were used in 52 spree shootings, okay? That also includes the ones that were shut down by armed citizens, okay? Now, that tallies out to, if you're going to use the number 20 million, we'll just use that just for grins, all right? I think it's higher than that, but we'll use that. 52 out of 22 million, that is a percentage of 0.00026% of all tactical rifles, or as I like to call them, personal defense weapons, because that's what the government calls them. That's 0.00026% of all tactical rifles ever sold to the American public were used criminally. So how about rather than looking at the 0.00026% of the time that AR-15s and other tactical type rifles were used by criminals, how about looking at the 99.999% of the times they were not used criminally by criminals, but were instead obviously purchased and kept by lawful citizens? Why do those numbers not matter? And that is, of course, a rhetorical question, because you already know the answer. They want us disarmed, and they want us disarmed very, very quickly. Now, House Bill 1808 also bans standard capacity magazines that hold more than 10 rounds. The idiot Democrats up there kept referring to these things as large compacity and claimed that no one needs more than 10 rounds to hunt deer. Well, you're right. We're not allowed to hunt deer with more than 10 rounds. The usual number is 5 rounds in most states. The Second Amendment is not about hunting deer, and you damn well know it. And the reason I know that you know it is you're trying to ban these rifles because you're afraid of them. And you're afraid of us having these rifles because you filthy swine have plans to do things to us that you know we will have every right to shoot you for. You're welcome. This isn't about hunting deer, and you daggum well know it. This is about defending ourselves against you filthy criminals up there in high places. That's what it always has been about. Read Federalist Paper number 46. It was plainly stated as being the intention for the right to keep and bear arms being codified into our supreme law. Some Democrats also claimed during the proceedings that the Second Amendment only applies to the National Guard, but of course, the writings of the founders, like Federalist Paper number 46, say expressly otherwise, and not to mention multiple Supreme Court rulings have thoroughly wrecked that argument, especially in the Bruin, Heller, and the McDonald decisions by the Supreme Court. Throughout the entire proceedings, the House Republicans repeatedly brought up the fact that Democrats were ignoring the Second Amendment. They were ignoring the aforementioned rulings of the Supreme Court. But this, again, people, drives home the point that I've been making for years on this program, and that is that these people are lawless criminals. They're domestic enemies of the Constitution and against the people of the United States. This is what they are. Accept this fact, and everything they do will make sense from here on out. 1808 now goes to the Senate. It's going to face very stiff resistance there, and it had dadgum well better face very stiff resistance from the Republicans, who can easily filibuster the bill if they want to. The Democrat communists are going to have to convince 10 Republicans to cross the aisle and hold hands with them in order to make it pass. There's really no definitive time frame for the bill to be taken up by the Senate, but be assured that the communists will do their best to ram it through while they feel that they've got the momentum with the passing of it through the House. So the main points I want to make in all of this about this criminal action by these criminals in high places. Am I saying that too much? You think I'm being hyperbolic? People, this is what they are. These people are the domestic enemies of the Constitution. The first main point is that the passing through the House of House Bill 1808 is nothing less than direct defiance and willful, criminal, treasonous assaults against the Second Amendment, against the recent Bruin decision and the Heller decision. And these elected servants are in direct, willful violation of their oath to uphold and defend the supreme law of the land, which further illustrates the fact that these people are lawless. They are. And if they'll willfully, purposely violate the laws that this country was founded on, and even the laws and the rules that they themselves have drafted and passed, then what makes you think they'll be stopped by an international law against genocide? What are you talking about, Royce? I think you know what I'm talking about. These people have already planned the deaths of tens of millions in this country. Don't you make any mistake about it. Why do you think they want us disarmed? Because they want to shift the power in their favor so they can do to us whatever they feel like. Face it, people. If they're treating us like crap now, while we're armed, what do you think they're going to do to us once we're unarmed? Do the math. Do the math. Secondly, this is part of the mass direct defiance against the recent Bruin decision by the Supreme Court. Just like Governor Hochul, whatever her name is, in New York, and Governor Newsom in California, and other governors throughout the country, other totalitarian communist governors, I should say, they're literally thumbing their noses at the Supreme Court's lawful constitutional ruling that upholds and defends the Second Amendment. You know what does that say about them? Well, it says that they're criminals, they're insurrectionists, they're domestic enemies of the Constitution of the United States. And this is exactly how they need to be referred to at all times from here on out whenever they come up in conversation. End of story. This is what they are. It also tells you that they're governed only by their Marxist ideology, and all of the laws and Supreme Court rulings that stand in their way, that stand in opposition to them, are to be disdained and denounced and vilified and maligned and ignored by these criminals with extreme prejudice. We, the people, owe these people no fealty, no respect, no recognition as part of our rightful constitutional government, as long as they are trying to ram through laws that counter the supreme law. We're not required to yield to their whims or obey any laws that they craft that run counter to the supreme law, the Constitution of the United States. Just because they occupy a seat within our government doesn't grant them any power over us. It doesn't grant them despotic power. It doesn't grant them to write laws that counter the supreme law. And we are not required to obey any laws that run counter thereto. We're not required to yield up any of our rights, the free exercise of any of them, to their lawless actions. And if they come to enforce any of their illegal laws, we the people, listen to me, I'm going to say it just as boldly and plainly as can be. If they come to enforce any constitutionally illegal laws, we the people have every right to defend ourselves and our liberties with deadly force. I said it. Yes, I know some of my handlers there in the NSA and FBI. I know you're listening, and you know I'm right. We have every right to defend ourselves against you when you cross the line. And that's exactly why you people are trying to disarm us, because you are about to cross the line. We're going to take a brief blood pressure and commercial break here on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast. Do not go anywhere, because if you do, you know what's going to happen, right? That's right. Captain Rob and the listener retention squad, they're going to come pay you a visit, and you don't want that. Stick around.
Hey, y'all. Rock and Rob Conservative here. I'd like to take a second and thank y'all for supporting Royce and the Shooting Straight podcast. Known the man for a number of years now, advertised on the show for, basically ever since I met the man. And don't think that we, and he doesn't appreciate the support that you give him. As y'all know, I am a licensed gun dealer, so if you're looking for firearms, need to sell some, like to trade some, you can reach me at 561-445-0429, either by calling me or texting me. Inventory's pretty good right now. Something else I'd like to say is, you know it, I know it, everybody with a brain knows it. Something just don't feel quite right now. Trust your gut, folks. Take care of each other. And never forget, taxation is theft.
Sigerman, godfather of the dirty hippie mafia.
Freedom Guns in Rockledge, just north of Rockledge High School, on the opposite side of the road, 1255 Florida Avenue, Suite A. You can check them out at freedom-guns.com. And better yet, just stop in there in person and meet Mike and his son Mike and Dennis and the rest of the crew out there. Got a great selection of handguns, long guns, ammunition, accessories, holsters, magazines. What are you looking for? Mike and the boys got you covered out there at Freedom Guns. If you need a nice big Liberty safe to stow all them guns in, well, he offers those too. He's got a floor full of them out there you can look at, and he offers free delivery and installation. Again, check him out at freedom-guns.com. When you stop down there, or if you're out of state and you call and maybe order a gun from him and have it shipped to your dealer, make sure you tell him you heard about him on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast.
The Shooting Straight radio podcast is proudly sponsored in part by The Gun Sight in Merritt Island, with a 9-lane, 25-yard indoor shooting range, handgun and machine gun rentals, a fully stocked gun store with plenty of long guns, handguns, ammunition, and accessories to choose from. They're your one-stop shop in Merritt Island for all things necessary to responsibly exercise your Second Amendment right. Check them out at gunsightrange.com or stop by in person at 125 South Banana River Drive. And make sure you tell them that you heard about the Gun Sight on the Shooting Straight radio podcast.
Want to purchase a brick on the Walk of Heroes at the American Police Hall of Fame? Go to uswalkofheroes.org and enter Royce15 in the coupon code for 15% off. Want to learn how to be your own first responder? The civilian training classes at the American Police Hall of Fame are designed for just that. Want to support law enforcement training? Contact us at the Hall of Fame. Go to www.hallofamestep.org for more information. The American Police Hall of Fame, proud sponsors of the Shooting Straight radio podcast.
Special thanks to the sponsors of this episode of the Shooting Straight radio podcast, Rockin' Rod Rao of Sugarman, Freedom Guns in Rockledge, the Gun Sight in Merritt Island, and the American Police Hall of Fame in Titusville. I really appreciate you guys keeping this program rocking and rolling, and your sponsorship is hugely appreciated. I thank you all. Now, to get back into the meat and potatoes of the program, I want all of you to note the fervency with which these communists in every state and on Capitol Hill are pushing so hard to create the necessary catalyst for cutting off the supply of firearms to the people. And I've warned you about this for months, and this is part of this. This assault weapons ban of 2022. They know that even if it just doesn't make it out of the Senate, they're going to keep hammering it, and they're going to keep hammering it. They're going to keep hammering it until they've got the votes to ram it through. Now, I want you to understand what's going to happen at that point. They are literally going to light the match on a fuse in this country. Because I will tell all of you right now, not just all of the people here in this audience, but all of you listening in the federal agencies, I know you follow this program. I know I'm on your list, and I don't care. You can all go pound sand. I've got no respect for any of you. I'm not required to have any respect for any of you. You're all crooks. You're criminals. I don't respect lawless criminals. So grab a hammer and head for the sand pile. But you guys are lighting a fuse here. That's what you're doing. You had better be very careful with that. You are really pushing us to the point where we're going to snap. And when we do, it's going to be bad for you. You already know this. That's why you're trying to take our guns through the legislative process. That's why you're going to be doing it by using the ATF against the industry also. It's already been weaponized again with the appointment of Mr. Dettelbach, who is literally right now under criminal referral in a lawsuit from his days as working for the Attorney General under Barack the Bolshevik Obama. He's under criminal referral. Well, gee, I guess that's a resume enhancer if you're going to be the head of the ATF. I think criminal record is pretty much exactly that, nothing but a resume enhancer. But they're trying to disarm us, people. They're trying to cut off the supply of arms. That's the stated goal. And with the FBI being what they've turned into now, essentially the Americanized version of the KGB, people, we've got a freight train coming our way. Because these people's goal is totalitarian power over the masses. And since they know that that can only be achieved via disarmament of we the people, then disarming us is their primary objective. I will tell you right now, they know they can't do it by force, because if they thought for a second that they could, they would have already tried it. They would have already tried it back during Bill Clinton's years. Now, I used to say that the communists in this country are on no timetable, that they're in no hurry, that they're, you know, they're all about slowly weakening the masses, And that one day we would just simply wake up and realize that we're all under communist dominion. But I believe that they know now that they've been discovered, and the depths of their influence in our government has been discovered. And I think that has been laid bare with the election and subsequent administration of Donald J. Trump, which exposed them and the depths of their tentacles within our government. And now they know they need to disarm us very quickly, because they're deathly afraid of we the people rising up and taking this country back by force. I guarantee you that's a big fear of theirs. And that's why they're trying so rapidly now to disarm us. I think their plans and their timetable has changed. I think the recent Bruin decision really jeopardizes their plans on an even more exponential basis. So for all of you out there wringing your hands in fear and anxiety over the House passing this illegal piece of legislation and uttering things like, well, they're going to take away our Second Amendment rights, I think it's time for you to understand once again what your rights actually are. Our founders in the Declaration of Independence described our rights as inalienable, or today you could call it unalienable, which means simply they cannot be separated from you, nor you from them. Let that sink in now. Your rights cannot be taken away. The only thing that the government has the power to do is to intimidate us and threaten us and coerce us by threat of force and or jail to not freely exercise our rights. In other words, that's how they infringe and violate and hinder the free exercise thereof. They can only do it by intimidation. Because if we decide we're not going to be intimidated, guess what's going to happen? Yes, we will nip the infringement monster in the bud real quick. The fact of the matter is, our rights can only be infringed if we allow them to be infringed. I've already been asked, well, what about this law they passed yesterday, Royce? Actually, they asked me yesterday, whoa, they passed that thing in the House. Man, they're gobbling up our rights. I'm like, you don't even have any idea what you're talking about. They couldn't possibly gobble up your rights. Your rights are not food for them to have. They can't take something from you like that. It's unalienable. It cannot be separated from you. Do you understand what rights are? Which prompted me to put this in my notes for this podcast today. You can't take my rights unless I let you have them. If I decide I'm going to go down fighting and swinging and shooting, whatever, to protect them and defend them for everybody else's sake, then that's what I'm going to do. You come here to take my guns. Listen to me, NSA, FBI, you guys listening? All of you, my handlers, you listening in now? Okay. All right. Turn it up a little bit. I'm going to say it nice and loud for you once again. If you come to my house to try to take my firearms under force or threat of force, you'd better be ready to kill me, because you will have to defend yourself, because I'll be defending my rights, which I have every right to do as an American citizen. All right. Make sure. Did you hit record when I said that? Okay. Make sure you get that down pat, because I have nothing to hide from you. What I just stated is an unequivocal fact for every American. We all have the right to defend ourselves against you when you step out of line and cross constitutional boundaries. And for all of you out there at the ATF, you boys better just start thinking twice, because I don't know if you understand or really are hearing what people are saying about you, but you are looked upon now as nothing but a pack of criminals by the average gun owner. You're despised. I mean, you go follow them on Facebook and look at some of the comments left on their posts. Yes, some of them are mine. They are the most hated, vilified federal agency on the planet. They are literally the toilet of all federal agencies. That's how they're talked about and talked to on social media. Because it's not just the legislative front there in the House we need to be concerned about. The ATF, the FBI, and the NSA, and DHS are all going to be weaponized against the gun industry and the gun retailers, the gun manufacturers, and even those that in the financial industry who serve the gun industry. And not to mention also the owners. They're coming after us. And they've weaponized all of the federal agencies to be used. Matter of fact, even the IRS will soon, you watch, there's soon going to be audits galore of multiple entities in the gun industry. Mark it down now. I said it. It's going to come. So they weaponized all of these federal agencies and expect these willful servants of lawlessness to spill American blood once again very soon. The ATF has been a murderous agency since their inception, when they were part of the IRS. And during the Prohibition years, they murdered well over 10,000 American citizens by instilling, what should I say, the interposed, they snuck in, for lack of, I'm trying to find the right big word, snuck in poisoned alcohol, knowing that it would kill people who drank it. And over 10,000 Americans died from drinking it. And they didn't care. They did that on purpose. These people are murderers. They've never been held accountable, and they never will be, and they know it. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you've committed murder and never been held accountable, guess what you're going to do again? Yep, you're going to commit murder again. And they did that against Mr. Randy Weaver's family. They murdered his son, his dog, and his wife over a quarter inch of steel. Yes, a quarter inch of steel. 17 and three-quarter inch barrel of a shotgun. 1/4 inch less than legal length. And over that quarter inch of steel, they murdered his son, his 14-year-old son. They killed his dog. Yes, that's murder too. And then FBI sniper Lon Horiuchi shot Mrs. Weaver as she stood in the door of the cabin there that was under siege by these agents. Shot her and killed her while she was holding her baby in her arms. People, that's what's headed our way. Waco. Yep, let's go on. Take a little ride back to Waco. You know what happened there? The ATF went there and they went in there guns a-blazing. It was nothing but a PR stunt, just like the recent showboating and dog and pony show by the House Oversight Committee with the gun manufacturing CEOs there. It was propaganda. The ATF wanted their muscles to flex on national television. They wanted to put the gun industry under fear. They wanted to put gun owners under fear and intimidation. And it was under orders of Janet Reno that they did what they did, and it turned into a debacle. Yeah, four agents, as the Branch Davidians defended themselves, lost their lives. No, I'm not happy that agents lost their lives, but you know what? You guys did that to yourselves. You put yourselves there. You went in there guns a-blazing. You're the ones that started shooting first, just like you did when you went to Ruby Ridge against Randy Weaver. Yeah. You're a pack of murderers. You've murdered before, and you will murder again. One thing's for certain, the federal government will never hold these federal agencies accountable. It's going to be up to we the people to do that. And unfortunately, I fear, the only way we're going to hold them accountable is when we start defending ourselves against them with deadly force, when they come and try to take our arms. These people are lawless, as I said, and recently there was a video put out by Mr. Dave Nagel of Black Metal Firearms in Mesa, Arizona. It was a video of an ATF agent who was an industry operations investigator, or an IOI. Her name was Miss Pamela Scott. She was from the ATF's Phoenix Field Division. She was there in December of 2021, and her audit lasted 2 months concluding in February, and as one article stated, she purposely ruined a few Christmases in that company. Mr. Nagel stated, he said, the public needs to know about the crazy stuff the government is accused of doing and that they're actually doing. Now, I kind of paraphrased that to make it make sense with the program. Mr. Nagel and Agent Scott, they apparently clashed with each other from the very beginning. All of Mr. Nagel's records are paper records, and nothing is computerized. Well, apparently, she didn't like that. And Mr. Nagel said, he said, she asked me why our stuff wasn't digital. Now, stop right there. I told you before when the agency was talking about, oh, we're going to make it easier for you to keep your records. We're going to have them digitized and blah, blah, blah. I said, don't do it. Don't do it, because they'll be able to access them, and they'll create a registry. You better believe it. Well, why do you think she's upset that Mr. Nagel didn't have his stuff on digital? I wonder why. Mr. Nagel's response was, he said, I told her I wouldn't trust her with our digital info. Good for you, Mr. Nagel. Stand up to her. She's a criminal. During another exchange, and I'm reading from an article, Agent Scott told Nagel he had a lot of gun nuts frequenting his shop. Yes, that's what she told him. Mr. Nagel told her, he says, I told her we preferred the term gun enthusiast. She countered with, she prefers gun nuts. And she works for the ATF? Yes, Mr. Nagel, she does. And she is anti-Second Amendment, Mr. Nagel, and that's why she's there. She's there not to do an inspection. She's there to find a reason to revoke your license, because that's part of the assault against the people's right to keep and bear arms. Go after the industry. Mr. Nagel said, she said she was going to put us in for revocation. Exactly. And that it may change as it goes up the chain, but that was her recommendation. We didn't sell guns to the drug cartels like the ATF did. Good for you, Mr. Nagel. Everything we deal in is something that can be readily sold to a customer. There's nothing here outlandish. We sell normal stuff to the common man, and she treated us like drug dealers. Oh, first of all, if she treated you like a drug dealer, she'd have sold you guns, Mr. Nagel. Anyway, that's what narcissistic government bullies do. Okay, Mr. Nagel? They gaslight and project their own criminality upon their intended victims, and that's why she did that to you. Now, I'm of the same mind as Mr. Nagel. These people are creating an illegal gun registry. It's already been found out. It has already been proven. Again, people, what comes after registration? Confiscation. You know that creating this registry is illegal. Okay, what has my point been throughout this entire podcast? These people are criminals. They don't care. They don't care if they're breaking the law. Mr. Nagel noticed that Agent Scott always had two cell phones with her. One was a government issue phone and one was her personal cell phone. And he caught her copying pages from his acquisition and disposition book using her personal cell phone, which is absolutely illegal beyond measure. Even if she'd used her agency phone, that still would have been illegal. The ATF requires gun dealers to maintain an acquisition and disposition record, or bound book, whatever you want to call it. It's a log of every firearm that's ever been acquired by the dealer, as well as personal information on the buyers. Mr. Nagel said, once she started recording the information from our books, I confronted her. I was concerned she was creating a database, Nagel said. She claimed that copying our records with her personal cell phone was, quote, part of the purview of her investigation. No, ma'am. No, Agent Scott, Miss Pamela Scott. It is not within the purview of your investigation. You are violating ATF code, not to mention federal law. Part of an article I've got here, Nagel has retained Scottsdale, Arizona attorney Derek Debus to help him fight the revocation of his federal firearms license. Debus reacted strongly when told of Agent Scott's actions. He stated, There's no reason for her to be taking photographs of my client's data. It's illegal, and there are rules against it. All right, Mr. Debus. Shocker, she doesn't care, sir. She's a criminal. And that's what criminals do. They willfully violate the law with impunity, and they don't care because she knows she will never be held accountable. According to the ATF's own rules, remember, I told you they violate even their own rules, as laid out in documents provided to AmmoLand News, which is part of the article that I'm reading here, by Gun Owners of America, or GOA, through the Freedom of Information Act request. IOIs are only allowed to photocopy ATF 4473 documents or other documents to log violations. Those copies must be treated as evidence, and the ATF's own rules strictly prohibit the mass copying of 4473 forms or any other documents. So their own rules prohibit it. Federal law prohibits it. But you understand, this agent doesn't care. One more time, because she's a criminal. You know, they've actually been doing this for a long time. They even changed the 4473 forms so that all of the guns information is now conveniently on the same page as the purchaser's information. It used to be the purchaser's information was on the first page and the guns information was on the third page. Well, they didn't want to have to take photographs of three pages, so they put everything conveniently on the front. Yeah. The article from AmmoLand News continues. In the video posted by Black Metal Firearms, the ATF employee can be seen photographing not 4473 forms, but rather the entire A&D logbook, and not just the sections relative to the inspection. You know, the surrendering of such documents is also supposed to be voluntary by the FFL, and Black Metal Firearms did not consent to have their records copied or photographed by Agent Scott. I'm going to take it a step further. Agent Scott had no justifiable reason to be photographing Mr. Nagel's documents. Mr. Nagel took several videos, back to the article, of Agent Pamela Scott copying his records and posted them on his social media. The video has gone viral. Yep, sure has. I watched it. And of course, when ATF Agent Pamela Scott was confronted with it by requests for comment, she declined comment, of course. I believe the attorney for Mr. Nagel, Mr. Debus, had sent her request. And she sent an email back to him and says, thank you for the email. And yes, I see that you're calling me. Yeah, let me finish the sentence for her. And I don't care. I would appreciate you contacting our division, PIO. That is Public Information Officer Cody, Monday, with any questions regarding my inspection of Black Metal Firearms. He may be able to answer any questions that you have at this time, she stated in the email. In other words, I don't feel like answering questions about this right now. Why? Well, because criminals don't like being questioned. I thought you knew that. Yeah. Cody Monday, who is the public information officer for ATF's Phoenix Field Division, said he could not comment because the investigation was ongoing. What investigation? What investigation? What irregularities did you find in this A&D book? What irregularities did you find at Black Metal Firearms that prompted you or gave you license or justifiable reason to photograph the entirety of Mr. Nagel's bound book, his A&D book, huh? You know, the ATF has been under fire a lot recently, and they don't care. They have, recently there was a video of two agents and a Delaware state cop showing up at a man's door illegally without a warrant, bullying him and intimidating him into showing them a gun he had recently bought. I'll tell you what, I'm purposely going to buy probably about, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 firearms, probably from where I work. just to see if you guys show up at my door. Just so I can tell you, I'm gonna hand you a hammer when you show up to the door, and I'm gonna tell you where how to get to a large sand pile over at a concrete plant in Cocoa, Florida, not far from me. Because you have no right, you have no authority unless you have an articulable proof that there is a crime about to be committed or has already been committed for you to show up at my door. And if you do, you had dadgum well better have a warrant. Yeah. Well, they've been accused recently of these warrantless home inspections, not to mention their usual string of questionable arrests, ignoring federal open records laws, inflating the ghost gun numbers, which I talked about on this program, in hopes that, of course, Congress would inflate their budget numbers. These people are criminals. These people are nothing but criminals. That's what they are. This is what they do. The one of the last comments made by, I'm not sure if it was the attorney or Mr. Nagel, it said, the ATF is willing to do whatever it takes for a pat on the head from the current administration, up to and even violating the law. This needs to be stopped immediately. They need to be brought under control because their history proves that the ATF's mistakes often end in bloodshed. No kidding. You better believe it. Well, not too long ago, actually several years ago, I drafted a resolution of noncompliance when there was an entity known as BAWN here in Florida, B-A-W-N, Ban Assault Weapons Now, trying to put on the ballot an amendment to ban assault weapons here in the state of Florida. And the Republican Liberty Caucus of Florida actually adopted that resolution of noncompliance. Well, recently I've redrafted it again to address this recent crime that took place yesterday on the federal level with this passing of the illegal assault weapons ban. And here it is, the resolution of noncompliance with federal gun control and assault weapons bans in particular. Whereas we, the constitutional keepers and bearers of arms of the United States, having grown weary of and righteously indignant against the constant defamation, slander, and vilification directed toward us by the enemies of our supreme law and the right to keep and bear arms in our Congress, state legislatures, municipal governments, political action groups, and the news media, and whereas we are justifiably incensed at being incessantly and baselessly accused of not being trustworthy to freely exercise our right to own such weapons when we prove on a daily basis that the free, responsible exercise of the right to keep and bear arms has never harmed an innocent person, and that we are no danger to anyone except violent criminals and rogue governments, and whereas it is the right of every lawful American citizen to keep and bear the same arms that all government forces and federal, state, and municipal agencies keep and bear, as is the clearly established intent of the founders, that we may defend ourselves against all threats to our lives, liberties, and pursuits of happiness, including, if necessary, even against our own government, and that the violation, suppression, or hindrance of that right is indeed an egregious threat to the security of a free state, and therefore an act of treason. And whereas it has been repeatedly proven throughout history that even incremental gun control laws eventually lead to the registration of firearms, and that registration always precedes their confiscation, and that confiscation precedes government oppression and eventually genocide. And whereas the attempted control, banning, and/or confiscation of arms by any government entity within the United States is a purposeful and willful violation of the supreme law of the land, and has also been repeatedly proven to have no impact whatsoever on actual criminal violence, that it actually aids in increasing such, and that it unlawfully and unconstitutionally increases the power of the government over the citizenry by diminishing the power of the people to resist any tyrannical impulses by the government, impulses that have historically proven to be a constant in every state and nation that has ever enacted such bans and confiscated the people's arms. And whereas we the people are not required by any sense of courtesy, legality, decency, or morality to yield up even the smallest portion of the free, responsible exercise of any of our constitutionally protected rights to the unfounded fears of our fellow citizens, elected officials, or members of the judiciary or legislative bodies, and whereas all gun control laws are nothing less than treasonous acts of criminal aggression against the people and their God-given rights, and the people are under no moral or lawful responsibility to obey laws that violate the Constitution and their rights, that it is also their right and duty of the people to defy and resist all such violations of the supreme law of the land, and that all elected officials who propose and or enact such laws are guilty of criminal acts of treason and should be arrested and charged should be arrested and charged therewith, in other words, with treason, for levying war against the United States by assaulting the security of our free state with their repeated attempts to disarm the people. And whereas the federal government committed a seditious criminal act when, in 1934, it usurped control over the firearms industry with the illegal passage of the National Firearms Act, and has used that power to flagrantly and egregiously abuse the people and their rights by converting a liberty into a license to acquire weapons that are their birthright to possess. Be it therefore known that we, the lawful citizens of the United States, do hereby resolve to defy and resist any and all gun control laws, from this day forth and forevermore, especially any registration or confiscation attempts of our rightfully owned arms, and that we will not comply with any orders to relinquish or register these arms, which are an illegal direct assault on our constitutionally protected rights, and therefore automatically null and void by default, regardless of what any constitutionally ignorant legislators, judges, law enforcement officials, or even our fellow citizens may say to the contrary. We the people are the final authority in all matters of the Constitution. We are the rightful masters of both Congress and the courts, and all laws that run counter to the supreme law are null and void at our discretion. It is our prayer that those who desire to impose these unlawful infringements against us will recognize their errors and bring themselves back into constitutional compliance. But if not, we will be left with no choice but to exercise our God-given right and duty to resist. Be it assured that we will continue to freely exercise our rights with or without the approval of the government, the courts, or our fellow citizens, so help us God. We, the armed people of the United States. Now, you think that's too harsh? Well, I want to remind you something, people. That was not directed at a lawful constitutional government. That was directed at criminals within our government who are trying to disarm us contrary to our supreme law. That was, again, I will tell you this. And yes, FBI, turn the volume up again. Make sure you hit record. Listen to me. Okay. If you're a constitutional government, that doesn't apply to you. If you're a willful violator of the Constitution, it absolutely applies to you. Did you get it? Yeah, play it back. Make sure you got it. If you need it, go ahead, give me a call. I'll read the whole dadgum thing to you over the phone if you want me to, okay? Because again, I say that was aimed, one more time, at an unconstitutional, illegal government who is committing illegal acts of treason against the right of the people to keep and bear arms. If you are a constitutional government, that does not apply. People, we're up against criminals, not just on our streets, but in our halls of government. That's the bold and glaring truth of the matter. That's why they passed House Bill 1808 yesterday. That's why that ATF agent felt totally at ease to photograph illegally the acquisition and disposition records of black metal firearms. That's why ATF agents feel it's okay to assault and storm religious compounds. That's why ATF agents think it's okay to kill people over a quarter inch of steel. You understand what I'm saying now? They've never been held accountable. I'm afraid it's going to be up to us to hold them accountable, and that's going to have to happen whenever they come to illegally use force against us to try to disarm us. That's the bottom line. So, if you don't own a tactical rifle, I want you to go out and buy two or three of them. You can buy some base models for around $700 a pop. Buy two or three of them. That way you can help arm other people who were basically the grasshopper and not the ant and did not prepare. Get plenty of ammo and get ready to let these people know we are arming up as a deterrent against you. Because that's what they need to see and hear. They heard it during the Obama years. As a matter of fact, there were people in the Obama administration that after Sandy Hook didn't have its intended effect, people were, you know, just wiping the inventory off the gun store shelves. And they even stated, lamenting, it's almost as if the American people are arming up to defend themselves against their own government. That was an actual statement. And to that I say, you're damn right. Pardon my language, Lord. You are right. Because apparently, government, many of you have forgotten your place. Or, worse yet, you are insurrectionists in high places trying to bring us down from within. In which case, you're committing treason. There's the bold and glaring truth. Am I wringing my hands over House Bill 1808? Not one bit. Not one bit. Because all of my representatives have heard from me. And matter of fact, a lot of other states' representatives that states I don't even reside in, they've heard from me too. I know they don't want to hear what I've got to say because I'm not one of their constituents. I don't care. That's going to do it for this episode of the Shooting Straight Radio Podcast. Keep your guns loaded. Buy yourself plenty of AR-15s. Buy yourself plenty of ammo. Get ready, people. They are paying attention. If we arm up in the face of this stuff, they'll get the hint. They'll hear the noise. And hopefully, with enough of our influence, this will die in the Senate. It needs to. Because if it doesn't, I deathly fear that they'll be dying in our streets. I don't want that to happen. The last thing I want is to go to war with my own government or against any of my neighbors. That's the last thing I want. I hate seeing my country torn apart with this garbage. But it's happening, and here it is. Catch you on the next episode. Keep your gun loaded. Keep it on your person. Keep your head on a swivel. Keep in contact with your representatives. And never forget, yep, you know it, incoming rounds always have the right of way. Royce out. So turn.